Come on, church. So great to be together. Oh, I love that woman down there. That's my wife. 41 years we've been married. 41 years. And we are living the dream. Because when God's in the center of your marriage, you put him in the center. Every day is an absolute gift. Love you. Come on then, church. Ready? Woo! Now, do I need to hold this a bit closer? You got a knack? Adjust this. Okay, first of all, church, I just want to say well done, Freedom Cape Town, because I just know from your pastors, Josh and Meg, you've been on a journey these last months. I mean, the communication going, no, we're not meeting here, we're meeting there. We can't meet here, we've been evicted from there. I mean, I just love the fact that I'm like in this place of troublemakers. I mean, you're just bringing the gospel, you're bringing the kingdom, but it's amazing. You need to know that there is a contention for the gospel, for the kingdom right now. And even, you know, when you have a contract and you have things, it's like, hey, everything should be right. We've done everything that's been asked of us, and still it's like, no, you're not allowed to meet. Because we got to realize that our war is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. That speaks to you, and it should speak to you about God's intended plan for what he wants to do with you as a church. But you cannot stop what God wants to do. You might try and close this place, close that place, say you can't meet here, meet there. But you know what? God will always push through. There's always something greater when you try and like put God in a box. And I just feel that to encourage you today, that if you had to try and find your way here, maybe it's your first time, or you're new and you're thinking, wow, this church is hard to find. God is on the move. Stick with it, because there's some great things coming. So I'm excited to watch what's going to happen next. Well done, you guys. Well done for being so flexible. Can't be rigid with God. So I'm going to share this message with you, which may seem unusual. Because I never heard anyone sort of use this reference before. But it's just something that I was really spoken to. I went to a musical. So back in Wales, it was in Cardiff in Wales, I went to a musical with H, and I think it was a gift someone bought us. It was called Hamilton. Has anyone heard of Hamilton the musical? Right, about five of you. This is going to go really well. It's a famous musical. It's from a book that's written. You don't need to know the contents. I just want to set this up. Is that, you know, when sometimes you perhaps if you are into watching a musical show, that there's certain songs that are really powerful. Yeah. And you just think, wow, something about, you know, it's very emotive and it's stirring and it speaks about history. Yeah. Les Miserables, you know that one, the French one? I mean, that one as well. Like, you know, The Blood of Angry Men. It just stirs you up, you know? And in this musical, Hamilton, there's certain songs, and I pulled out certain songs, and this is my sort of title, Young, Scrappy, and Hungry, because it's one of the main songs in the set. And this musical is all about the founding fathers of America, and how this guy, Alexander Hamilton, he is like from an impoverished background where everything is against him, but he ends up coming into a place that influences the birthing of the nation. And in the song is really about him, Hamilton, this sort of opening type song. And he says, I'm young, scrappy, and hungry like my country, right? And this, it just grabbed me, young, scrappy, and hungry. And I started thinking about God, what do you say about that? What do you say about your church being young, scrappy, and hungry? Because I know some people in life who sort of, I don't know, they just seem to sort of die at 30 but get buried at 80. Because they don't seem to continue living. They stopped living a long time ago. And when I look at young, scrappy, and hungry, it stirs and provokes me, and I hope it provokes you. Now, you've got to get this right straight away. Some people, when they see this title, they think, well, I'm not young. Yeah? I'm sure some of you have thought this straight away. Well, I'm not young, so it doesn't apply to me. It's talking about the young of heart. It's talking about a Caleb spirit. A spirit that when he is like in his 80s, he's like saying, hey, I'm ready to take the land. If you want to know what young, scrappy, hungry refers to in the Bible, it's like a Caleb spirit. It's a David that wants to run down to a battle line. I'm scrappy, I'm hungry for the kingdom of God to come. And I want to speak to you, Cape Town, this morning. I want to speak to you, Freedom Church, and say, are you young, scrappy, and hungry? And you might be on a journey of faith, but I've just got a vision for you. Don't live your life and waste it. It's the young, scrappy, and hungry that awaken the potential, the unwritten things that are yet to be written. Alexander Hamilton, it was all about the fact that he just thought, do you know what? I'm here. I'm going to make a difference. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry. Every person, I don't care who you are, you're on this planet, and you are here to make a difference. It's something inbuilt in every one of us. And when we meet Jesus, when we walk with him, we find the greatest potential ever in our life released. So one of these, so I've just set you up what this is about, young scrappy. So when I refer to YSH, that's what it means. So in this message, I'll go YSH. I think you lot are young, scrappy, and hungry. You know, I've met some of you and you're like, yeah, you're a bit scrappy. It's like, you know, you are not going to pursue Jesus being sort of placid. You're going to need to pursue and take possession of the promise of God. You need to be hungry for his presence. Yeah? So I'm going to speak to you, though, about this term, this reference. And it's another song in the musical. And it's called, I Want to Be in the Room Where It Happens. I Want to Be in the Room Where It Happens. And it refers to the fact that big decisions were made about the signing and, you know, agreements made about the future of the nation. And this other guy in the musical, he's saying, I want to be in the room where it happens. I don't want to be outside of the room. I want to be inside the room. And this is the message I got for you guys, that I believe that God is saying to you today, do you want to be in the room where it happens? Because God's going to do some amazing things in the days ahead. He's called you for some amazing things. There's potential filled in this room, but you've got to be in the room where it happens. The Wright brothers, who were the first to design and create the first flight that was controlled, can you imagine when they did it? After 90-odd attempts, and they finally did it, the first people to fly an aircraft. Can you imagine being in the room when it happened? Can you imagine when war comes to an end and men sit in a room and sign a document? World War I, they did it, where they got together 1918, the 11th hour of the 11th month. They came together and they signed and said, war is over. Can you imagine being in the room when those things were signed? Now let's think about Jesus. Can you imagine being in the room with Jesus? Oh, when he starts to talk about communion and the Last Supper, and he starts washing their feet. Can you imagine being in the room when he washes the feet of the disciples? I wouldn't want to be outside. I wouldn't want to be outside. Did you hear what happened? I don't want to hear about what happened. I want to be part of what happened. But you've got to be young, scrappy, and hungry to be part of what happens. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about. I want to provoke you. If there's something religious in you today, this will provoke you. Come on. Try and stay with it, because maybe God wants to set you free from a religious spirit. Because there is freedom in this. There's freedom in this message. So when I think about Jesus, when he came and they crucified him, he rose from the dead. After the resurrection, it says in those 40 days that he was still on the earth, he appeared to over 500 disciples. Yeah? And what does he say to them? Wait, because the promise, the gift of the Holy Spirit is coming. Wait in the upper, do you remember? Wait in Jerusalem. Wait for me. And for 40 days, he appeared to 500. And then fills the room. There is like wind, there's tongues of fire. And we call that Pentecost. Pentecost is poured out. Holy Spirit comes, the promise for the church. How many people are in the room when it happened? The 500, he said, wait for the promise that is coming. Wow. No, 120. Wow. Where were the others? Wow. Where were the others? Can you imagine? Because I'm sure every one of us would say, if Jesus told me to wait, I'm going to wait in the place for the promise that's coming. But somehow, a big majority of the people had something better to go and do. They had another priority to go and fulfill. They prayed when it happened. So I just want to say to you that God is not waiting for you to turn out. You need to wait for God to turn out. And when we think that he is fixing on our agenda, we're going to miss what the agenda of God is. Because eternity ticks, eternity moves. It's not waiting for you, it's giving you opportunity. And God will give you opportunity to step in. But I've just learned that I've got to be young, scrappy, and hungry. No matter my age, no matter how long I'm waiting, I'm going to be fighting and pursuing what God has for me. We've got to get ready. And we have this thing, I don't know if you have it here, it's called FOMO. It's called fear of missing out. And some of you guys, you know, it's like, yeah, there was a great, we were invited to a nice dinner or a nice party or something. And it's like, we want to be there. You know, we want to miss out and hear they had great fun. You know, when you decide not to do something and then afterwards, it was so fantastic, the reports, you think, we missed out. We need some of that in the kingdom. Sometimes we can take it or leave it when we come and worship together, when we come as the church and God pours out in a moment. We miss it because we just count it as ordinary when something very special is about to happen. We want to be in the room where it happens. So I'm going to use some scripture here and a great story that many of you will know. And I'm going to try and whiz through this and cover as much as I can because God wants to deposit some truth today that will bring freedom. Okay. It's from Mark chapter 2. It's verse 1 to 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone. I bet it did. This amazed everyone and they praised God saying, "We've never seen anything like this before." You got this fantastic story about this paralyzed man being lowered through a roof. He gets healed. You just see this miracle. When I read this, I just thought, oh, I want to be in the room where it happens. Can you imagine not being in the room where that happened? It's like, I'd love to have been there. Opportunity to get their friend before Jesus. That's what this story is about. It's about the four friends who have got a chance. They've heard he's in town, but when they turn up to the house, it is surrounded. There's no way of pushing through. I mean, they're carrying him on a mat. If you were by yourself, you might be able to shoulder barge, push a bit, get sort of some view through the door. But inside the house, it's packed. Outside the house, it's packed. When you're carrying someone, there is no chance you can get in. But they had this one opportunity, and they knew there was something more. The problem was there was no room even outside the door. So the first point, I've just got 3 points for you. Opportunity has more than one door. The front door was closed. The front door was full. There was no space through the front door. But these four, they sort of looked at it and they said, there's no normal way to get into the room where it happens. But there's more than one door. And we know what they do is they go from the door to the roof. The door to the roof. I love this. God has just challenged you, some of you right now. You're thinking the door, but there's a roof. You're thinking the normal way through. You're thinking there's one way, but there's more than one way when it comes to God. This is the way that he works. He turns things around. See, some of us, our theology would have been, if we were the friends, we would have turned up and thought, you know what? We can't get through. They're a bit full in church today. they're a bit full with Jesus in the center, so maybe it's not God's will to heal our friend. Because if it was, he would have made a way. Some of us are waiting for God to make a way when he's saying, why don't you make a way to get before me in the presence of God? Come on, we're crying off. We're walking home all sad and disappointed because, oh, it looks full. There's a barrier. I don't know if I'm like, you know, do I fit? I see too many things for me to get in front of Jesus. I'll sit at the back and watch from a distance. And he said, hey, there's more than one door. There's more than one door. I believe these four friends thought, we've come this far, we're not going home. There's someone in the room today, you've come this far with your walk and faith with Jesus. Don't go home. Don't go home. Don't just carry on with the life that you're living. Today can be a new way and a new life. But you've got to keep pressing in. The young, scrappy and hungry is saying, I'm coming through. I'm finding a way through. I'm finding a way through where I am. See, the potential of your reward that God will give comes through you taking responsibility to partner with him and walk into it. Where's the stairs, they said. There's some steps at the back of the house. They're going up the stairs. They're coming up to the roof. Oh, see, entitlement will keep you at the door. Entitlement has kept you at the door for far too long. That then produces disappointment. But God says today, why don't you go higher? Why don't you go higher? Go up to the roof. Go higher. Go up higher. There's another way to be in the room. This must be what they were thinking. Now, I love this because just imagine, Jesus is there, you know, he's there surrounded by all these people and healing is going on, he's teaching, things are happening. And then as he's there, this is Jesus, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Almighty. Here he is, he's in this room. Things are going on. And then he notices a bit of mud fall from the roof on his shoulders. And it sort of falls. And then he looks up and there's someone digging through the roof. It's made of like sticks and earth. And it's being dug out. And suddenly it'd be men's faces who are carrying their friend. This is uncivilized. There's nothing religious about this. They're not sitting on pretty chairs. They're not coming in saying, where's my place? They're coming in and saying, we're going to come through the roof if it means being by Jesus. What will you do to be with Jesus? What will you do that is uncivilized to say, I want to be in the center, in the heart of what God is doing? And when I see this, boldness is on the roof. Boldness is on the roof. Whew. Wow. The front door is closed. But boldness is on the roof. The second one, the young, scrappy and hungry overcomes resistance and opposition. You might just think, well, we're going to come through the roof. It's all going to be easy. Jesus will be there and he'll say, hey, healed, done. And we all like have a great party, go home. No, do you see what goes on? They lower him down before Jesus and then immediately the religious people respond to what Jesus says, because he says, hey, your son, your sins are forgiven. And they're like, you can't say that. It's blasphemy. So again, straight away, there is this criticism, there's resistance. And this man, think about him. He's paralyzed all this time. He finally gets before Jesus through a roof. I mean, his story is the best story ever. He's in the room where it's about to happen. He's in the room and then he's met with opposition, accusation, criticism. And I'm sure for a moment he must have thought, this isn't going to work. I know all these people around that are criticizing him. And I think maybe I've got before Jesus, but I don't know if I'm actually going to see a change come in my life. But it says that he saw the faith of the four. He saw the faith of then, he gets forgiven. And I find it amazing because he came, because he's paralyzed, for his legs to be sorted. He came for a physical need, yet Jesus looks into his soul and said, I could heal that right now. See, it's what he's doing. Some of us have even come today with a need in our life. heal me, fix me, do this for me, Lord. Come and fix this. But what he wants to do is he wants to save your soul. He wants to restore you. He wants you to know redemption. He wants you reconciled to the Father as a son, as a daughter of God. That's the greatest gift. This is eternal. Because I've seen people who have got healed but have not come through. You need to come and realize that he is the Savior. Everything else is on top of that. And so Jesus is saying, I just know you need forgiveness. I know that you need to know the Father. So right now, your sins are forgiven. Don't you just love it? He's, you know, the way that he is moving, the way that he's speaking. See, God sometimes bypasses what we want to give us what we need. And we just got to make sure that we trust him with it. Why, God, are you withholding my legs? Why are you withholding giving me what I want? Because I'm going to give you what you need. And maybe even right now, he has led you to this point because what you need is putting Jesus first as your Lord and Savior, walking away from the life of sin that you live and pursuing him. And I'll tell you what, you haven't got a clue what will happen. The gifts of God that will come, but you don't do it because of the good gifts. You don't do it because of the legs. You do it because we need a Savior. That's foundational for every one of us. And I've looked through, you know, my own journey where there has been rejection and difficulty and things where there's been resistance. And you got a choice to either come in and get scrappy and hungry for God or to cry off and be a victim. I found that rejection can actually be your direction. And right now, something's happening in the room. The uncivilized street fighter that came through the roof is in front of Jesus. He's received forgiveness of sin. And he's got this resistance in him to say, I'm not going home. He's here. There's more. But do you know what? We sometimes want to be resilient without resistance. But we need resistance to become resilient. And you will need that to possess the promise of God. And here he is. Resilience is on the floor. Boldness was on the roof. Resilience is on the floor right now. He's still on the floor. He's on the mat. But this is what happens. Jesus then says, right now, we've come through salvation. Now it's healing time. And he says, listen to me in front of all the resistance. I'm going to speak life to the dry bones here. And I'm going to say right now, get up, take your mat and walk. And this is what he does in front of all the cynicism and the resistance. He takes up this mat, healed. And do you know what he does? This is the powerful image. He's got his mat. He's healed. And he starts walking out of the door that was closed to him. The very door that was closed to him. He's walking out of it. He never came in as a paralyzed man. He came through the roof. But now he's walking out of the door that said no entry. God wants to take you through a door that was closed to you. He's going to give you the legs to walk through the door into the fullness of the life of God he has. That's who he is. That's who my Jesus is. Oh. The door that was denied is now a door he walks through. The last one. Point three, young, scrappy, hungry, are devoted to heaven's go. What is that? Devoted to heaven's go. There is so much, we haven't got a lot of time to explain this, but when you look and you look at the sending power of God that sent Jesus, there is something about the go of the church. We're not designed to exist in four walls. We're not designed to just stay where we are and celebrate. We've been here for 100 years. Back home, we have churches that have been 300 years and they're 10 people and they're celebrating. So I wouldn't be celebrating. I've been in the same building for 300 years. Something's gone wrong. There's go about the church. And you've almost got it right now. It's like God's stirring you. It's inconvenient. It's inconvenient because like, oh, well, we can't meet there and we're looking for, and hopefully we'll get this through. But it's like, God is just saying to you, you ready to be a go church? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go actually beyond Cape Town? Are you ready to go? You know, we're a movement that believes we'll go where God calls us. And if there's not a door in, because we're in some countries that we're not allowed to meet as a church, but we go and we find a way through the roof rather than the front door. This is who we are as the church. Don't you say no to us. Don't you say we can't share this gospel. Don't you say I can't pray for you and believe for something great. Don't you say I can't prophesy to dry bones. I've seen what God can do, but you're going to need that young, scrappy, hungry. See, when you look at it, these four men, they weren't really polite. Fancy digging through someone's... If that was your house, how would you feel? Oh, a house. And we got it all nice, got a nice packed thing, and then someone decides to dig through our roof. That, guys, it's not polite. And yet in Scripture, it's showing sometimes we need to be impolite. And what I mean by that is I mean uncivilized. Instead of sort of keep to your little space, your square, make sure you're a good Christian, well-behaved. You know, sometimes God wants to let out a shout through you. He wants to break out in celebration through you. He doesn't want you to be at the back. He wants you to make a way to the front. I've learned from what I want to be where the presence of God is. I want to be closer to Him. If I can get to touch Him, I want to be in the room where it happens. It's not about importance and who sits where. It's about a hunger to be in the presence of Jesus. And sometimes you've got to climb over chairs to get in the presence of Jesus. You've got to climb over what stops you to get through. See, the consumers, the entitled, they were in the room. The civilized were outside the door. The devoted came through the roof. Which one are you? Show me your life and I'll tell you. If you've got four good friends, it's amazing where you'll go. If you've just got four good friends, and I want to finish up with this, is when you have four good friends who have faith in Jesus, we choose our friends. Come on, we choose friends. And if you've got the wrong friends that are keeping you at home saying, do you know what, it's going to be a bit embarrassing taking you. Do you know what, I don't know if we're going to be able to get through. I've heard there's a crowd. If you've got those types of friends that are going to cry off, you're always going to be looking at what other people do. But when you've got four friends who are saying, we're going to find a way. I call them cheeky friends. Cheeky. They're like audacious. They're thinking, do you know what? There might be a way. Let's get there. The enemy can't stop you. You have roof friends and door friends. Which friends have you got? Which friend are you? See, the friends aren't really in the room when it happens. They're on the roof looking down. It's one of the only times you see that someone is looking down on the top of Jesus, speaking profound words of salvation and life, and these four faces are looking down saying, we were part of this. It wasn't about us, it was about our getting our friend in the room where it happens. You want to know what Christ-likeness is? It's about doing whatever it takes to get someone else in the room where it happens. You're going to enter a place where you're going to bring in friends into this place. You're going to enter in these days ahead. I just see you bringing in, saying, come with me, come with me. There's going to be friends that you're going to bring. They're going to be like on the mat. And you're going to be the friend that will say, come and meet him. Come to my church. Come to this place. And they're going to walk out through the door with freedom. But they're going to need friends that will be ready to take the challenge of go. Ready to go. Who needs your faith? Who has little faith right now that needs you to step in? Who's waiting for you to find a way through? See, I've realized that this is bigger than me. I need others in my life. And when I look at the challenges that we have gone through over the years, it's always been others that came along and said, together, let's get before Jesus. And I might say, hey, I'm ready to give up right now. And they say, don't you worry, we're going to carry you. And then it was my turn to carry someone else. Can you imagine if the church, the family of God, understood what the four principle was? The young, scrappy, hungry, I want to be in the room where it happens. This is where you awaken future and you awaken potential and you awaken destiny. It's in this room today. But you have a decision of saying, I'm not going to stay back. I'm going to find a way through. Amen. People are waiting. Right now, there are people that are waiting for your invite. You can talk about it all day. You can say you're praying for them. That's great. But sometimes you just got to say, I'm taking you. We're taking you. And I want to encourage every one of you to think about, who am I for? And who am I a for of? God is here. God is moving in this place. Oh, salvation is the most amazing gift that we cannot earn. It doesn't matter where you come in. You don't have to start off young, scrappy, hungry. You can be broken. You can be on your last legs. You can be high up, successful, and everything. You need Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Just for the, it's for the broken on every level. Jesus came on every level because every person needs salvation. And he said, I am the door. I am the door. No one can enter to the Father except through me. Through me, the door. The door is a person. His name is Jesus. There's not two ways, three ways, four ways. There's one way, and his name is Jesus. And he says, enter through me. And when he got on that cross and he gave his life for us, he paid the price for every one of us. And then 3 days later, defeated death, rose from the grave, and he set alight a church that would not be contained in a room anymore. So right now, can we close our eyes? Because I'd love to give an opportunity for anyone that is here who has never, if you've never put your faith in Jesus before, okay? If you've never put your faith in Jesus and said, Lord, I want to make you my Savior. I'm going to follow you. It means turning away from your current life and pursuing Jesus, following him, a life laid down for Jesus. And if you want to receive the gift of salvation and hope today, do you know what? I've made a hole through the roof. And we're your friends in this room. Right now, we lower it. I've lowered you before Jesus. And right now, you have an opportunity. He's speaking to you and he's saying, do you want it? Do you want your sins to be forgiven? Do you want to recommit your life? If you have walked away from God, if you are not living a life worthy of God, if you are today needing to recommit your life, this is for you as well. Then right now, you're before Jesus. You're before him. And he says, forgiveness is here. So I want to ask, while people's eyes are closed, if you want to respond and say, that's for me. I want to choose salvation. I want to come home. Will you raise your hand where you are and just say, yes, that's for me. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Will you raise your hand and say, yes, that's for me. I choose salvation. Jesus is here today and he's saying, I am the door. Forgiveness. Do you want it? You don't have to come through the roof. A response of your heart is to raise your hand and just say, yes, Jesus, see me. I choose you. Then one more time, anyone else, raise your hand and say, I'm coming home. I choose salvation today. Will you just do it right now? Just raise your hand. Raise your hand. He's here for you. Young, scrappy, and hungry. Come into his presence and choose Jesus right now. Father, I want to thank you for every person that has responded. I want to thank you that you are moving in this room, that you are as real today as you were back then, that you're here, that we get chance to be in your presence. And so right now, I pray for the power of forgiveness to flow in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that right right now, for every son and daughter, as you reconcile them to yourself, they would know forgiveness and the love of God. Oh, and we celebrate as the church today. And we give you the glory that you are moving. Lord, that there's so much more, Lord. Father God, that we would be a people that go out with a young heart. We're going to fight for what you have, Lord Jesus. Oh, we're going to be hungry for your presence in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, church. Come on, it's been so good to be here. God bless you all.